Sometimes you may know where you want to take your career, but the path to getting there is far from linear. In today's episode, I interview one of my former students who has for the past almost 10 years been passionate about growing her career in a direction where her work had more social impact and on an individual level was able to improve the quality of life for people she served through these roles. However, as I alluded to, her path was not straightforward and there were many twists and turns and challenges to breaking into the sector. And on top of that, she recently immigrated to Australia where she faced the challenge of having to re-establish her career. And within 2 weeks of recording this episode, I was so delighted to receive this email from her, which said, "I'm happy to share the good news that I was offered the position as business development manager for an NPO called See Differently here in Adelaide. I'm so excited about this opportunity and look forward to making a difference and following my passion." So I hope you enjoyed this interview with Izan Bosch today. Are you a health professional facing a crossroads in your career but feeling unsure of which direction to go in or what next steps to take? Are you tired of working hard and not seeing results in terms of career growth? Do you long to build purpose into your work but feel stuck as you don't have a clear focus, are unsure how to package your value, or are uncertain what professional development opportunities you may need to carve out a new career path? Hi, I'm Dr. Diane, boy mom, immigrant, visionary, and career pivot strategist, and I'm here to help you find career clarity, identify and leverage your value, and clarify the steps you need to take so that you can confidently transition into the next phase of your career, scale your professional impact, and find greater fulfillment. If this is music to your ears, pull up a chair and let's chat. Well, today I'm delighted to have with me Izan Bosch, and we've got such an interesting story, actually. Izan was formerly a student of mine, believe it or not, in the early or mid-2000s, was it?
Yes.
Very much like myself, had a short stint in clinical practice, and today I've invited Izan onto the show really to talk about her professional journey and what it is that has informed some of the pivots she's had and where she is now in her professional development journey. So, Izan, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for making time to be on Life Beyond Clinical Practice today.
Hi, Diane. Good morning, and thank you for having me. Yes, it's such a privilege to, after so many years, still be in contact and be able to actually share some of my journey and my story. We come a long way. I was actually this week, I had a look, you know how Google Photos sometimes reminds you of how old you are?
Yes.
And then you get these pictures that pops up, and some of them were actually from my final year of studying at the university. So yeah, it was such a coincidence that this week that was my memory, and that's actually where our journey started. So yeah, we won't share the pictures though.
But no.
Just the memory.
Wonderful. That was actually such a special time in my career, you know. It was actually my first introduction to higher education, teaching at university. And your class in particular made it such a special time for me. I look back on that period of my career with so much gratitude for the lessons learned, the relationships built. And here we are speaking 20 years later, you know, still all things sort of optometry, professional development. And we've been able to sort of walk alongside each other, follow each other's career journeys. And I'm so grateful that you agreed to share your story today. So as I said at the beginning of the interview, you, like me, had a very short stint in clinical practice. You trained as an optometrist and then went into what was really the predominant mode of practice in South Africa for optometrists, but very soon realized that you didn't want a long-term career in clinical practice. What made you realize that? And tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yes, I think for me, being an optometrist in South Africa, there was definitely a time for me where that was very rewarding. And especially when you come out of university, you know, you are so fired up and you just want to go and change the world. I think for me, I ended up being in the wrong practice. Not that the practice was wrong, it was just for me at that time. It was a very quiet, small practice. So I didn't get the feeling from, that energized feeling where I saw a lot of patients, where I felt like, this is what I studied for 4 years, I could really put into practice. So I got bored very quickly. And then I made a change to a more busier practice, which was then the total opposite. It was just so commercialized again and just so busy. So I had these two extremes in my career very, very early on. And I think for me, that was pivotal in my decision. Sometimes those first experiences, it kind of frames your mindset for practice and for clinical optometry. So it wasn't all bad. I learned a lot, and it was really great fun, but it just wasn't what I envisioned for myself. When you're young and you want to get out there and you've got dreams, and it just never ticked those boxes for me. And then in the end, my husband got transferred to a different city, and that actually gave me the opportunity to make a change. And that really came at the right time. So I don't know if you want me to continue sharing what I went into then. So we then moved, like I said, to a different city. And I said to him, I don't want to just take the first job that comes available. This is an opportunity to reset, to stand back a little bit, just to have a look at what I really want. And at the time, then I got an opportunity to get involved with a corporate company, which was in the contact lens space, as a sales representative. And I said to him, let me take this
Try it.
opportunity. It will allow me to kind of get into the door of all the practices in that area. And then I can kind of, from a bird's eye view, see where I would want to end up in the end, in terms of going back into practice, because I wanted to give myself that
A
chance
fair
again
chance, a
to
fair chance,
To
yeah.
see, if my experience was, if it was just the practices or if it was just really me that is not enjoying the clinical setting. So yeah, I then took that opportunity, and I was with them for 5 years, and I never looked back. So I then never went back into clinical practice. I did a few locums over weekends just to kind of stay
In
into,
touch with.
keep riding the bicycle. And I just enjoyed it so much. I was exposed to so many different things, opportunities, business development, learning about sales, relationship building. And that was just so much more into who I am. So it just spoke to me so much deeper, even though I was still in the clinical or in the eye care space, but just not patient facing. So it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed those times.
Thank you for sharing that, Izan. I love the way you talk to the fact that you use the relocation as an opportunity to reset and rethink what you wanted professionally. And if I can go back to your experience in those 5 years, what do you think were, you did allude to some of the things that you enjoyed, but what do you think was the main sort of fire in your belly? What was the thing that you enjoyed most about that role that kept you so energized and growing in that sort of field of optometry?
Yes, I think for me, the professional connections with my peers, because now as an optometrist, you're sitting next to another optometrist, and you're not an optometrist working with a patient. So for me, the professional level of engaging with peers that's on, and exchanging information and feeling like you can add value,
Wonderful.
to these people was for me really, that was worth it for me. And building those relationships at the end of the day, feeling like you can add value, sharing products and assisting them in making small changes in their clinical settings, but with a lot of bigger benefit for them as a clinician, as well as towards their patients. Where so I had that influence at the end of the day, just via a different route.
Wonderful. And what the word I like to use is impact. So you were able to impact patient care on a much larger scale,
Yes.
because had you been in a practice, it's you and the patient, right? One on one. But now, in the role that you were in, you were seeing multiple clinicians who each had multiple patients, and you devolved the knowledge, expertise, practice efficiency tips. Yeah. And so your impact was much broader. So you spent most of your time in your most recent, I don't know, what's it, 10, 15 years in corporate roles, progressing from sales executive positions within the eye care industry. And most recently, before relocation to Australia, which we'll talk about a little bit, you were the lead business development manager also for a corporate organization. You want to talk a little bit about growing to a management or business development role and how that grew you both personally and professionally?
Yes, I think looking on the personal side of growth, first of all, I just wanted to say that we've got three children. So firstly, I'm a wife and then a mother, and then the career comes. And I think there's a lot of people that can identify with that. So for me, my personal and professional growth kind of goes hand in hand. It did happen a little bit slower, and it's still slow compared to, I think, people that just drive professional growth. But for us, as a having a family, it is a little bit more
Balancing.
difficult. Yes, and I'm a firm believer in making sacrifices for your family, but with that sacrifices there comes opportunity. So for
Most
me, over
definitely.
the last few years, making those sacrifices for my family, because I didn't chase it, my career wasn't my main focus, but the opportunities that came along because of the sacrifices did open up a lot of doors for me. And it did allow me to grow professionally.
From a sales rep position, you then sort of advanced to a managerial role. Did you feel equipped, or how did you feel at the time taking on sort of an expanded portfolio of responsibility?
Yes, that was definitely challenging. But I think over the years, one learn your strengths and just to leverage off that, and also people skills and being able to work with people from different cultures, different personalities. That doesn't just happen overnight. That comes with time. So I really enjoyed my years as a sales rep. I also am a firm believer in the example that gets set for you. So the times that I was in working for the corporate companies, I had amazing managers and people that guided me on my journey, and they were very influential in shaping me as to who I am today and how I manage and look at other, people working with other people. So my last position as a business development manager was, it was really very rewarding because as a team, we kind of all just worked together. Nobody was nobody's manager or nothing, so we just, it was such a nice team and an environment to work.
I love that you said as a business development manager, it was such a comfortable working space with your team that there wasn't a hierarchy as such, and that you were still able to leverage off each other's strengths and grow the work that you were doing. Did you undergo any training for that role, or how would you say you prepared to step into the next level of responsibility in your career?
There was a time, that was actually during COVID, where obviously everything came to a standstill. And at the time, we weren't able to obviously go out and see customers. So I kind of took that opportunity to advance my own professional career. So I enrolled for
Wonderful.
a course where I then studied to as a towards a sales management position. So it
Okay.
was a sales manager course that I did. And sometimes I think we tend to not invest in our own knowledge in terms of, especially when you're in a race where it's so fast-paced and you don't feel like you ever have the time to study or do anything extra. So for me, that was quite a big move and financial output, to commit to something like that. But for me, that was the change, and it also gave me the confidence to know that,
Right.
but these things that people are talking about, I know what they're talking about. Because if you develop into something over years and you don't have a certificate to show for it, you sometimes doubt yourself if you really have these skills, until you then kind of just solidifies it by doing a course. Then you're like, okay, no, this is it. I've put it into boxes. I know exactly what they're talking about. I can do this. So it just gave me that little bit of confidence. And I remember the times when I was still in sales also, you know, going into practices, meeting young optometrists, I always said to them, you know, never stop studying, never stop learning. Because I did that. I stopped. And it was very difficult to have the confidence to go back, even if it's just short courses. And nowadays, it's so much easier. You have so many opportunities out there to keep on studying. Mm-hmm. So that time for me during COVID, when I did that sales management course, for me was a good investment in shaping my thinking more than, it's not about having a certificate to show something on paper. It was more for me to shape my thinking and give me the confidence to know that I can do this.
Yeah, and you're fully qualified to do it.
Yes.
So you don't second guess yourself. One of the things you mentioned earlier in the interview, Yizan, that I loved was that you said over the years you came to know your strengths. And I think that's an area a lot of professionals sometimes battle with. It's like they're not quite sure, especially if you're stuck in the clinical practice environment and your work is kind of very laid out for you. You may have strengths outside of that, but identifying them becomes challenging. How did you come to identify your strengths and so that you know how to nurture the next phase of your professional development journey?
Sure, that's quite a difficult question, I think. But I think for me, I always knew that I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. So I think if you have that one thing that you keep your focus on, you can kind of navigate finding those skills and strengths because of this overlying theme that you strive towards. I'm a very creative person as well. So I think one needs to look at your personality traits as well as, and I think sometimes people get put into positions where you cannot really, your personal life, your professional life, they don't gel. You cannot kind of blend the two with each other. So for me, really, the creative side of myself and being out and about and also, kind of identifying or working towards that main thing that drove me for making a difference was kind of the thing where that navigated me through my career, to just identify those small things along the way.
Oh, I love that, because that's something I've said in a couple of my episodes. Now, it's so important to find your thing, to know it, to name it, because that's really the compass, right? It informs then everything else you do or choose to do in your professional life. Now, I love that you said that your sort of overarching theme was you wanted to make a difference. And we've maintained intermittent contact over the past 20 years, mostly because you've always felt called to more in the eye care industry, and specifically sort of looped back to me on occasion to ask for advice about how to break into the public eye health space. So I just want to dig a little bit deeper into that. Why was it that you never let go of that pull of wanting to make a difference in public eye health? And what was it about public eye health that you felt called to do?
Yes, I think for me, again, you know, that main overarching thing, and I think one can pull that back to making a decision of what I wanted to go and study, was to make a difference in people's lives. So first of all, that was the main thing for me always, that passion for doing that. And public health for me, it really came about when there were, I'm going to tell a short story, but when I was, obviously we've got three children, and then a few years ago, one of my kids' schools asked me to come around to do some screenings for them, visual screenings for the children. At the time, they were all 5 and 6 year olds. And obviously, being out of clinical practice, that was quite a big ask for me, you know, going back, and especially with children, you know, they're not the easiest, to work with. But anyway, I did it. I felt like, you know, there's a tug on my heart. I need to go and do that. And that day kind of just, again, added so much depth to where I wanted to go, because I realized then that these kids don't have voices. They don't know. And I mean, it was middle to high income. It was a middle to high income school. Cool. So it wasn't even underprivileged schools that I went to. And I mean, that for me kind of made me realize the voice that we need to be out there for parents, for them to know that your kid, they don't know what they cannot see. You know? So we need to be that voice. We need to educate them on the importance of early prevention, early detection. So, because the children don't know, they won't know what they
Exactly.
should see, you know. So,
Yeah.
and I remember specifically that day I screened about 100 kids. There were seven that needed referrals. And even afterwards, I had a discussion with the headmaster and I said to her, you know, after this day, even if we only picked up one child, it would have still been worth it for me. And then out of that, I kind of navigated with the school. We went to some of the rural areas where they kind of had a relationship with some of the schools and we did some screenings there. And yeah, it was just heartwarming, you know, for me to see what impact one can have. And especially when you look at a child when they're 6 years old, you know, their whole life lies ahead of them. When
The
you think about
potential.
education, successfully achieving your dreams and your goals, you know, your eyes are kind of like the main thing for that. And if nobody ever tells you that, how are you going to know? So that's where I kind of like my mind started going to public health, because that for me is where you can make a really big difference. And also the interdisciplinary approach for me when you look at public health. It's not just a standalone, you're not just an optometrist. You can
Right.
have different people working together to make a big change. And I think oftentimes everybody wants to kind of invent their own wheel, where if you stand back a little bit and one just works together, you can have such a big impact, you know.
So
So
true. Oh, I love those themes. I love that. It's largely what has driven my work and my career. And so you're just echoing what's also in my heart in terms of what's informed my career choices. And there's nothing more rewarding than knowing you're making a difference in people's lives, not just in the immediate term, but one that will have an impact for the rest of their lives. You know, I alluded earlier in the program to the fact that you've now recently relocated to Australia. And yeah, just wondering if that's now another opportunity to reset. What are you thinking about in terms of, you know, pivot, perhaps pivoting or niching your way to a public health role? Have you found any sort of opportunities in Australia? And just talk to us a little bit about your future plans.
yes, yeah, so we've been here 6, almost 7 months. So we kind of agreed that I'll just take the first few months to settle everybody in and then kind of start navigating the environment here. So I have started to be involved with something in the eye care industry here. Definitely not my end job, but I think the door has opened a little bit for me to start building the relationships, because obviously moving to a new country, it's a blank canvas. So I kind of have to start
Right.
all over again. Which I'm actually thankful for, because with a move like this, the transition, again, you know, it's an opportunity for new avenues to be explored, new relationships to be built. It's going to take some time again, but I'm positive. I'm positive. And I definitely, I mean, for me now, I won't give away my age, but at my age, I'm at that point where, you know, that I know what I want to do.
Yes.
And I will focus and I will drive and I will just keep going, you know, until I get that opportunity where I feel, okay, this is it. And I sometimes ask myself, will we ever get there? Where you have that feeling of, okay, this is it. You know, aren't we here to continuously grow and move around to kind of navigate and have an influence and never end at that point where you feel this
Yes.
is it?
Yes.
So I'm exploring again, you know, just to possibly study. It is a little bit expensive. So I first need to find a job, save a little bit. But yes, that is definitely on the table for me. I think to also, especially in the public health space, I think there's lots to learn, which I haven't
Yes.
had the opportunity to learn. So if I can get any opportunities in that area and learn and study together, that would be the first prize for me. But I don't want to
Wonderful.
overload myself now. I think it's just to slowly get into the space, meet
Yes.
people, and then take it from there.
Yeah, I love your attitude to evolving, you know, your commitment to constantly evolving, because that's what lifelong learning is about, professional growth is about. We never reach a stage of we finally arrived, because when you get there, you have a mandate to fulfill, a mission to fulfill in a particular portfolio or role, and then you'll grow beyond that. And then it's what is the next level? What is the next challenge? So, to the audience today, I would say that's the takeaway from your story, is that we never really arrive, but we're always moving in the direction of What is the next professional assignment for me? How can I make a bigger impact? How can I meet my heart's pull or tug or need and make a difference in the world? And I see that thread throughout your career, how you follow that. And I just want to wish you well, Izaan, as you continue to navigate the new space. I agree, it's an opportunity to look at your career through fresh eyes, to find different paths towards accomplishing your career dreams in the field of public health. And I trust that, you know, opportunities will open up as you align everything in terms of studying and new roles. And I know you're going to go on to do great things. So thank you so much for sharing your story today. And just be encouraged that professional development never ends.
Thank you.
And I know with your breadth of experience, you know, in the eye care space in general, in business, but also your interest in public health, that the world is your oyster, you know, and just continue to press on your heart.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And all your support and guidance along the way really means the world to me. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you. You're most welcome. And yeah, always here just for a phone call and email away, just for encouragement and any insights I can provide to help keep you moving forward. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you. It was such a privilege.
Awesome, Izaan. Thank you for being on the show. You take care. And that's a wrap for today. If you found value in today's episode, do share it with a friend who you think may need to hear this. And if this episode inspired you, would you be so kind as to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review for the show? I'd love to hear how our content is helping you on your professional development journey, and your review will also help others discover and benefit from this podcast. Looking forward to hearing more? Then meet me back here again next time for another episode of Life Beyond Clinical Practice. Goodbye.